Fantastic. If you have your Bibles, turn with me in the New King James. I'm going to use the New King James this morning, just for a bit. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Next week, or the week after, I'm not sure, we're going to start a series on Philippians. I've been getting some materials together. I thought it'd be great to do a series on 4 or 6 weeks, I don't know, but we'll see. But I'm going to do the book of Philippians in either next week or the week after. And we're really going to get into the Word of God and into the New Testament. And Paul, who likes the book of Philippians? It's a great book. So we're going to actually just dissect it a little bit. So that's going to be fun in the next couple of weeks. This morning, keep your heart with all diligence. Who thinks that's a good idea? For out of it spring the issues of life. I want to bounce off this into a passage of scripture from Numbers 13 about giants. Who's got giants in their world today? Who's got things and challenges and problems? Just put your hand up. Is it should be just about everybody. Who's got a problem they're facing at the moment? Yeah? Is this message for you? All right? So this is all for all of us. The way you see things is the way you are. That's what this verse is saying, in actual fact. The way you see things is the way you are, and it will never be how somebody else sees things. Hence the incredible value of the church community and staying connected, because when you actually hear from other people how they see who you are, it changes who you are. And not only that, when you get a great picture of who you are, because what God has deposited into your heart, you will see things differently to the way you're currently seeing things. You and I have borders and boundaries due to the condition of our heart. Is that true? We don't see things how they are, rather how we are. Have you ever noticed that a circumstance changes the way we see things? And so the more you focus on the problem you face, the challenge you can see in front of you, the more your heart will slump downwards. Don't worry, it's not going to be depressing for very long. And will affect your entire being, including the words you speak. Who's ever noticed? We've all had those moments, haven't we? All had those moments where, man, what comes out of our mouth? And then later on, we wish we could change it. Hey, just first of all, just get together with God and have a bit of prayer, and things will turn around. Stay with God, number one. The proverb says, from out of the mouth the heart speaks. We can change our perspective because we look through God's eyes. Who'd like to look more through God's eyes here today? So, we'll give you this little illustration from the conference. Pastor Shane and myself were at the conference, and Dr. Phil Pringle, the president of C3, globally, actually asked her the last night if we could ring people within the Sydney area that actually were backslidden, or we knew were just needed a boost with their businesses, those kind of things. So we actually, Shane actually, all credit to Shane, I guess, he hates that, but he's a good man. You know, I don't think we've spent that much time together. Shane is a really good man. And he was talking about us, Andrew and I, and the heart that he has for people. Well, have a listen to this. He rang his manager, who runs Moodle in Sydney, and said, why don't you come down tonight, just, to the conference? Well, his name's Julian. Julian goes, yeah, look, you know what? I'll come. And I think that was the first surprise. but then he rocks up. He actually beat us to the auditorium. So we were half an hour early, but he was already there. Fortunately, and he was. I find out he's sitting next to me, so I just said hello, and I find out that 25 plus years ago he was at Brookvale at one of the first church services of C3. Had never gone to church since. So anyway, this is a long meeting. He used to play the keyboard. It's a really long meeting. I'm thinking it's all over. There's no way, it was just going to be an experience for him. But anyway, Phil prolongs the altar call, and the altar call goes on and on. And I'm looking at Julian, and I think Shane's just kind of, you know, and you could tell he was fidgety, you know, because we're standing there, and he's kind of looking at me, looking at Shane. What am I going to do? And he turns to Shane, and he goes, you know what, blokes, they don't say much. Shane goes, do you want to come down? Yeah, I want to go down the front. So he goes down the front. Shane's laying hands on his back. Pastor Phil's actually talked to him. What's your name? I'm Julian. Prays for him. And he recommits his life to Christ. We went out afterwards for a short drink. Wasn't sure how to phrase that. I didn't want to lie. Yes. Anyway, I start chatting to him, and I basically him and I are just on the same couch. Well, not close, but and we're talking together, and he's saying, you know what? He said, because he's a really analytical guy, right? And he said, there was this pain in my chest that wouldn't go away. There was something here pushing on me, and I knew that I needed to get right with God. So what I'm talking about this morning is the journey of the invisible. There is a presence and power of God that changes everything about us. When you get people into the environment of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, their whole perspective on life will change. If you see it on the inside, you can have it on the outside. What are you seeing? What is on the inside of you is going to affect the outside world that you live. So what are you seeing? What are the things that you have in your life? And I know there's issues here this morning, because all week I've been thinking about them. Shane's right. I've been praying for a lot of issues. And I know there's lots of issues going down around our church. And all I can say is, first of all, stay right with God. Allow God into your heart. Allow the word of God to soak into your spirit. And there will be breakthrough. There will be change. In Numbers 13, come with me. Probably won't be able to look at all the scriptures this morning because we haven't got time, but let's just quickly look at this. Israelites have been journeying through the wilderness, and now they have an opportunity to get from a land of just enough. Who'd like more than just enough here this morning? They were surviving on manna and quail and got rebuked and all sorts of things because they complained. And let's keep your heart right with God. They had this opportunity right here, Numbers 13, to actually be in a land of great supply. Who'd like more supply in their world? Anyone this morning? So go from manna from heaven to all kinds of food and drink. Can you imagine? This is 40 years of just eating dry bread. Is anybody, are you on the same page with me this morning? My goodness, there's this beautiful fruit, there's milk, there's honey. The Bible describes all these things. But something's on the inside of some of the people. Let's go there. In Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, this is the New King James, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, everyone, a leader among them. We are looking at Moses' hand-picked leaders. This is Shane, this is Caroline, this is Sandy, this is Joel, what's his name? Jared, this is Sarah. You know, this is Jordan. Yeah, Jordan. That's who I was trying to think of the other. Oh. And these are the hand-picked leaders. These are good men. It could be any one of us, right? It could be Doug O'Day. Man, what a man of God. It could be Jacques. There's business opportunities. Man, I'm telling you, your world is going to change very quickly. I know it. It's in my spirit. I've been praying for you, Jacques. Things are going to turn around. It's going to be better than you think possible. The things you are doing and stepping into, there is going to be breakthrough in your world. So these are the best of the men. Verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like the camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, or whether there are forests there or not. Then it says, be of good courage. Turn to your neighbor, be of good courage. And bring some fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Who likes grapes here? Whew. Well, these weren't just little grapes. These were the big kahuna grapes. These were enormous grapes. They, in fact, they had to carry a big... The bunch was so big, they had to carry it on a big bamboo pole. Don't know if it was bamboo, but hey. They were the biggest grapes you've ever seen in your life. It was a good land. There was so much honey. There was so much milk. There were cows. There were cattle. All these things that the Israelites had not seen for a very long time. Are you getting the picture? But God knew that they needed to see. Stay with me. Verse 26. They departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of Israel. So the leaders had come back. They'd gone out. They'd spied out the land. They brought back the huge bunch of grapes. And where does it say? And then they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of Israel in the wilderness of Paran. They brought back with them and showed them the fruit of the land. Israel sees, now this is the whole of Israel now, they see the provision of God, yeah? It's wow! Can you imagine? They hadn't seen grapes. Summertime, isn't it? Yeah, great. Spring, now! No, it's gone. Anyway, I don't know what season it is, but hey, I'm having a good one up here. They see the fruit. It is spring. It is spring. Come on, guys, help me out here. It is one of the largest clusters of grapes. The leaders explain all the magnificent things that they have seen, how great the land is, and they should be falling over one another, yeah, to take possession of this land. Don't you agree? Verse 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. You might as well just put Anak, just put giants. These huge, big... Let's not go there for the sake of time. I was going to explain how that happened, but hey, let's leave that for another time. God does not only give us the provision, he also gives us the perception test. How I see that giant is how I see my future. God gives us a perception test. And it is what we have in our heart that determines what we see ahead for us. The whole camp is looking at the problem, the challenges, and the giants of the land. But Caleb does not see what all the fuss is about. He eats the breakfast of champions. He goes into his prayer closet early in the morning and prays to the living God. He has faith in the inside of his heart. And he actually says, let us go at once and take this land, for we are able to overcome it. You and I need Caleb perspective. First of all, you've got to want the grapes. Jacques, I know you want the grapes. I know it in my spirit. Are you with me this morning? I know you want the grapes. The other situations in your life, you need the grapes. You want the grapes. Who wants the grapes? Come on. Who wants the grapes? Who wants the grapes? We all want the grapes. But who knows that there is an enemy, because we are Christian people, we have God in our heart, that is trying to get us not to, to take the grapes, but there is a God that wants us to be blessed, but then there's this war going on. We're in this war constantly about whether we're going to get the grapes or whether we're going to allow the circumstances and the things in our life and what people say to say, oh no, we'll just let it be. God has a great future for you. God has the best future for you. And with things that we do, sometimes it's not immediate, like Andrew was saying in the communion, but when we hang on to God, it's going to turn around eventually and you will receive the blessing of God. So first, I want the grapes. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want the grapes. If you got some now, I'll have them. See, God will always, listen to this, God will always give us vision. But it's what we see that counts. It's what we see that counts. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want something in your life that you haven't got quite now that you know God has promised you? How bad do you want that home? How bad do you want to see that business flourish? How bad do you want to change a career because you know that God's on it and yet you haven't moved, you haven't budged? How bad do you want to be well this morning? How bad do you want the grapes? Yeah, but when it turns out wrong, when I take a risk, what if it doesn't come through? What if it doesn't work out? There's always going to be risk when there's faith involved. Seriously, do you think the devil is simply going to hand you a good life on a platter? Can I have some air up here if that's possible, please? It's a war. Too bad how you look. Too bad if you don't quite make it how you thought. Keep on pressing into God. You are going to win eventually. How bad do you want the grapes? When you are dominated in your thinking by the Word of God, when you are dominated in your thinking by the Word of God, you will be able to receive your future. You will be able to see things turn around in your life that aren't quite there right now. But when you hang on to the Word of God, He will give you the wisdom. He will give you the things that will transform situations and problems, and you will be able to stomp on the giants. I'm not scary, please. Wasn't it great the Dockers won yesterday? Come on. I love it when the underdog comes through. Let me ask you, who's backing you? Who's backing you? Can you only see the giants, or can you see God's future through the giants? Come on. Sometimes we've got to grit our teeth, do the work, and there is going to be the breakthrough because we've hung on to God through faith. See, others see the frustration, the pain, the failure. All around you, you see the people talking like this, do you not? Oh, you go to work. Oh my goodness, this happened. Oh, is anyone, did you know what I'm talking about this morning? But as for me, I will see the grapes and I will keep going. What you look at the longest becomes the strongest in your life. I must define myself on what God says. That seems too loud. Is that too loud? Turn it off. I'll just get hot. It's okay. You're already hot? I'm already hot. Oh, okay. Sorry, a bit slow. What you look at the longest becomes the strongest in your life. I must define myself on what God says. Does anyone want to be defined by what God says rather than their circumstance, rather than the problem, rather than the giants? Sarah's not leaving. She does our cafe. Let's give Sarah a hand. Send men to... listen to this. What verse is it? I don't know. But it says this. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. What I see in my heart is what I have in my life. Verse 32, verse 33, same chapter. They gave the children a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature, the giants. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers. Grasshoppers do not have any teeth. Rather, they suck. You will suck at being a Christian if you don't sink your faith into what God has given you to possess. Don't suck when you can actually bite into and devour the giants along the way and receive the prize. Come on. Grasshoppers actually don't have any teeth. They do suck. So don't suck. They jump from problem to problem. How many of us jump from problem to problem to problem to problem because we don't have the Word of God inside of us and stay the course that He has given us? Doesn't the Bible say, taste and see that the Lord is good? You've got to bite into God and have the reserves in your heart to see His will come to pass in your life. You can only do that through the Word of God and prayer in your life. Let's up the ante as a church. Let's see this place having service after service after service, because we're alive to the things of God and the power of God. We won't jump from this thing to that thing and realize that the only thing we need is to stay solid in our relationship with the living God. So who is defining your life today? Is it the love of God? Is it faith and joy? Or is it giants? Is it challenges? Is it problems? What are you listening to? What defines you? Listen to His voice, not the negative people. I was reading the paper over east about the state of Western Australia. Apparently, we're gone. We're doomed, but we're going to do better and better. And don't listen sometimes to what the news and everything else is saying. Rely on the Word of God in your heart. God's going to get you through regardless. We can get negative so quickly. But it was funny at the same time. Apparently they'd like that, the East Coast, but hey, we love Western Australia, don't we? Listen to His voice. So Caleb, who'd like to be a Caleb? Come on, that should be the whole church. Who'd like to be a Caleb? You can be a Caleb S. Number one, decide you want the grapes. You've got to decide. Jacques, you've already decided, I know that. You've got to decide you want the grapes. Yeah? You've got to decide you want the grapes, guys. You've got to decide you want what's best. You've got to decide you want the grapes. Second, dominate my thinking through the Word of God. So rather than allowing the problem to mess you up, get back to the Word of God and see that problem through His eyes, and there will be a way through. There will be. There will be. There will be. Third, define myself. Define myself through what I have inside my heart. I'm going to define myself because I'm listening to God, I have the Word of God, I have great people speaking to me, and I know that I am God's person that can get through this because God has more for me. So I won't allow the enemy, I won't allow the devil, I won't allow the negativity to influence the way I live my life. Lastly, dedicate my life to a life of vision in what God has for me. Caleb was a man who dedicated his life to the life that God had for him. 40 to 85 and onwards into his old age, he kept on defeating the giants. I'll show you as we close. Come up. Thank you, Yana. decide today to wholeheartedly follow the Lord? Will you decide today to wholeheartedly follow the Lord? Listen to this in Deuteronomy 1:36. Except Caleb, he shall see it. Would you like to see what God has for you? And to him and his children, I am giving the land on which he walked because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord. There is more land coming to you. There is more for you to possess. There is more people coming to the house of God. There is more family and friends who don't know God yet. There are all sorts of situations that seem like trouble and problems right now that God wants to solve for you. Caleb did not lose heart. Let's be a church that decides, you know what? I'm not going to lose heart when things go the wrong way. I'm not going to lose heart when business opportunities don't turn out. I know that God is going to work it around, and sure, it might take a bit longer than I expected in all those situations. We live in a real world reality. They said at the conference, which is called Shift, they said Shift happens. And, you know, that's the way it is sometimes. Let's hang on to God. Listen to this. Give me this mountain on which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim, the giants, were there, and that their cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me. He's 85 years of age when he says this, Caleb. It may be that the Lord be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb as his inheritance. Decide if you want the grapes today. Dominate my thinking through the Word of God. Define myself through what I have inside my heart. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? But let's take these few minutes left. Let's have this solemn time with God. Please. Why don't you allow God to shift you this morning? Shift you into his thinking. Define myself through what I have inside my heart. Dedicate my life to a life of vision. What God has for me, not the problems, not what the world wants me to have, which is nothing. So this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, are you wholly devoted to the Lord today? Are you really following God? Because I tell you, when you've got your eyes on God and the Word of God, there is going to be a future that will get you through anything. Sure, we're going to have problems. That's how our faith grows. But let's not lose sight of the end. We have a prize. We have a reward. God will make things turn around. Just hold on. Will you hold on today? So there's two things happening here. One for the Christians. You need a faith boost. You know that you haven't been following. I want to pray for you this morning. I want you to get the eyes of God this morning before we close. Will you allow me to pray for you? Those of you who know God, but you know that there's these struggles, there's these situations, and you keep turning back to the problem. God's going to grow your faith today. Will you trust him to grow you? Will you allow that to happen this morning? Will you allow him to shift you? Secondly, you may be here this morning. Every eye closed here right now. You may be here this morning. You haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You haven't turned to him and wholeheartedly received him as Lord of your life. He is here. He loves you. The presence you can feel is God's presence. You know, the Bible says at the end that we can't be lukewarm. We have to actually be hot for God. I reckon we could be a church that are hot for God. Don't you? I reckon we can be a church that's not lukewarm. I reckon we can do that because we all have a relationship with God. We all know how to pray and read our Bibles. We all know how to hang together in connect groups and love on one another and help one another through situations and be positive in one another's lives. Why wouldn't you want to be a Christian? Would you rather do it alone? When you have a God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you have three in one coming right into your world, smack bang into your heart, turning your life around, and then you have great people who want to love on you and help you do your life and change your life into being the greatest it can be with purpose. No more thoughts of depression, no more thoughts of all those other things, because you are going to have a life that is focused on the Word of God, and you will see your future coming to pass. So if you're here right now,